If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can open them to the book of Romans, and we're going to be looking at the book of Romans chapter 8. I accidentally preached half my sermon in Foundations this morning. If you're part of our Foundations class on Sunday mornings, we just got speaking about salvation in Christ, and we got speaking about what changes in their life when we come to faith in Christ, and I just had to tell them half of everything I was going to share with you this morning just because it just fits so well. But as I mentioned, we were at a district conference this past week, and on the Monday evening at conference, I just feel like the Lord put this particular message on my heart for this morning. I feel like the Lord gave me a picture and an image of how we would respond, because this morning I just feel like there's going to be folks here that the Lord is going to break off condemnation and shame from their life, and you're going to be able to walk in a new freedom after this morning, brought about not by my words, but brought about by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but who live according to the Spirit. Amen. Lord, we just ask that you would take these words this morning and that your Holy Spirit would knit them into our hearts, Lord God. And we just pray that shame and condemnation would fall away, Lord God, as we walk more closely with you and walk in your Spirit this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen. Amen. In this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, there's a theme, there's several themes, but there's one he comes back to time and time again, and he comes back to the idea that you and I, who walk according to the Spirit, who have faith in Christ, we can walk in freedom from sin, and we can walk in the wholeness and completeness of life that is there for us. This is a theme that he comes back to all the time. And so, folks, we know this morning that we are broken people, right? Right? We know that we are broken people. We just have to look into the depths of our hearts, look into our lives, look back further in our lives. We know that there is brokenness and that there are areas where we experience temptation. And if we were completely honest, there are times and areas where we might just feel like we completely blow it sometimes. Maybe this morning was one of those times for you. I shared once that the most horrible time for a pastor to have to preach is after you get your children ready for church and you're trying to rush out the door and there's fighting and there's between children and then maybe you become sharp with your wife. Mandy's not here, so I can tell you that. Or maybe she becomes sharp with you or things like that. And then you get to church and then you have to preach and lead worship. Which is why, since we've come to Evangel, I come to church at 8 in the morning all by myself. I bring my son Benjamin with me, and sometimes he helps me get things ready for the service, but I usually come early, and Mandy's okay with that for now, but she usually gets all the children ready and brings them to church in the morning. That's just being honest. So you can all you ladies who have got church children ready for church in the morning and brought them for years, you understand what Mandy's going through. Just give her some encouragement this morning and the mornings that will come, because those few that she's been gone away that I've had to bring four children to church, it's a wonder you even got a sermon that morning. It's a wonder we even made it here. But you know, we know that sometimes in life, we just completely make a mess of things. And so this message that the Apostle Paul gives us here in the book of Romans, this message of freedom from sin and a wholeness and a completeness to life, this message of freedom from condemnation and freedom from shame, this is a timeless message, and this is something that's so important for you and I this morning. But you see, there's two things that we try and do with this sometimes. We read that there is therefore no condemnation, that sin is broken, that we walk according to the Spirit and not by flesh. And so sometimes we do it this way. Sometimes we say that means I'm going to pull everything together on my own, that as a Christian, as a person, I need to have everything together all the time. And so I'm going to work harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to stay up later. I'm going to take less breaks. And sometimes we even approach the spiritual disciplines of prayer and scripture reading and fasting and so on. We approach those as ways that we are going to earn the favor. We are going to earn the right to walk in the Spirit. Now, you and I know that that's impossible in and of our own strength to earn somehow the way to do things well. And we also know that it's possible to know a lot about God, but not to experience the power of God in our own lives. And sometimes we do that, though. Sometimes we fall in this trap of, I'm going to earn it. Or the other side, and I think this might bring both sides together. The other side is that we look for other people to do it for us. We say, I might not be able to hold everything together, but if I wasn't married to the person I was married to and I was married to someone else, well, look at their life. I've heard that before. Look at their life. If only that person was my wife or that person was my husband, then life would be a lot more pleasant or less complicated. If only I went to this church or I went to that church, if only that worship team was the one that was leading me in worship, then it's no wonder that people seem to have victory in that church or here or there. But let me tell you, folks, that both of those things are lies. Both of those things are lies. The idea that you can work harder and that you can earn it on your own, that you can be free from sin if you just work harder, and the idea that if your circumstances were different, that if you were in a different relationship, if you were in a different church, if you were in a different town, then just automatically things would be better. Both of those things are lies, but the enemy would love for us to become encapsulated with those things. The enemy would love for us to waste our time on those two things. But the Apostle Paul sets the record straight here. He says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You might remember in Romans 7, if you turn the page back in my Bible, it's a page turn back. It might be on the same page in your Bible. You might remember in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul talks about the man who does not do what he wants to do, and the things that he does not want to do are the things that he does do. You're familiar with that particular passage? You can look back there in Romans chapter 7 and read that. And so the final cry at the end of Romans 7 is this. The Apostle Paul's talking about this man. He says, what I want to do, I do not do. What I do not want to do, I do. And so what a miserable and wretched life there is. Who can save me from this body of death? That is how Romans 7 ends. And sometimes we quote that passage when we are feeling particularly weak in our flesh. Sometimes when we are being particularly beat up by the unique temptations that sometimes overcome us. Sometimes when we completely blow it, maybe as I said this morning, you just woke up and you realized, I've just done things wrong. I made a complete mess of things. And sometimes we can look to that particular passage and we can quote that passage. And we can say, that's me. That's me. I'm that man that never does what I want to do and always does what I do not want to do. But let me tell you something here this morning. If you are here this morning and you are part of this gathering this morning and you can hear me, and if you have confessed faith in your life, you are not that Romans 7 person in Jesus' name. You are not that Romans 7 person that is powerless, that always has to succumb to the sinful nature, to the flesh. That is not the word of God over your life this morning. Do you know that this morning? That is not the word of God over your life this morning. You are not doomed to the flesh nature that is within you. No matter what comes your way, no matter what temptations come your way, you are not doomed to that. You are not powerless to the flesh. You are, and you are not powerless to do what you do not want to do. Do you know that this morning? Because I think sometimes we grab onto that Romans 7 man and we hold it up and say, yeah, that's me. And we're not proud of it. We lament it sometimes, but we say, it's there though. I know. I guess this is the best that I can hope for. But let me tell you, the Apostle Paul wasn't putting that there as the prophetic word of God over your life. He was showing you what life in the flesh looks like. And he says, we might fall, but in Romans 8, he says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because we can walk by the Spirit and we can walk in freedom. We can't fix ourselves, and we can't fix anyone else either. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that before, if you've ever tried to not just fix up your own selves, but just meddle in someone else's life or family and fix them up too. But both things are doomed to failure, because we walk not according to the flesh. We walk not according to our own wisdom. We walk according to the Spirit of God. Romans 8:4 says that. So maybe you can just say that with me before we move on from this point. Say, I live according to the Spirit. Just say it with me. I live according to the Spirit. Romans 8:4. We do not live according to the flesh. We are not slaves to the flesh. We are not slaves to the sinful nature. We live, if we have confessed faith in Christ, we live according to the Spirit. That first verse there is key to the entire passage. There is therefore, at this present time, no condemnation for those who have asked Christ Jesus to become the leader of their life and who walk with the Holy Spirit in the days of their life. Folks, condemnation refers to punishment. To condemn someone is to bring punishment to them. And what is the punishment for sin? Well, we know, we read in the Word of God that the wages of sin is, the wages of sin is death. And so we know that there is a punishment for sin. It is death. But those who are in Christ Jesus at this present time do not experience that condemnation. They do not experience that death, because it has been paid for us by Jesus Christ's work on the cross. And when he said it is finished, he meant it. It was finished. And there is therefore no punishment, no consequence, no condemnation for you and I. You might be thinking this morning, but how can this be? How can this be? Because we know that 1 John 1:8 tells us that we have still sinned. That there are still things in our life that are sinful. That 1 John 1:8 tells us that there is no one that is without sin. And if someone says that they are without sin, then they are not telling us the truth. And so how can this be? Are you saying that we can just live as we wish because in Christ there is no condemnation? That's not what Paul is saying here. But remember this, in the Gospel of John chapter 8, when Jesus encountered the woman who was caught in adultery, the law said in that moment that she should be stoned. The law said that the man that she was with should also be brought out and be stoned. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were pulling Jesus and this woman and everyone together. And they were putting Jesus to the test and saying, what are you going to do about this one, Jesus? And he says a couple things. First, he says this, if there is anyone here without sin, they can cast the first stone. And I've always imagined when I read that particular passage of Jesus really, you know, putting a little bit of a guilt trip on the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, because he's trying to appeal to the fact that they know that they can't even live up to all the aspects of the law. And so if there is anyone here without sin, let them cast the first stone. And so So I always just imagine that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were standing there rationalizing this and realizing that they were not in the place to do this. And so one by one, they began to leave until Jesus and the woman caught in the act of adultery were still there. But there's something I've missed in reading this all along that I just, the Holy Spirit just opened my mind to this week. It's that is this, when Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone," there was someone there who was without sin. There was someone in that crowd, in that gathering, in that setting who was without sin. And it wasn't the Pharisees and it wasn't the teachers of the law. It was Jesus Christ himself in bodily form here on the earth. He was there. And Jesus was without sin. The Word of God tells us that he is like us. He shared in everything about us, the writer of Hebrews does, except in the sin nature. And so Jesus could have cast the first stone. Jesus could have picked up the stone in accordance with the law. And because he was sinless, he would have the justification to carry out the sentence that was laid out before them. But this is what he did when they all left because they realized that they were not worthy. He says to the lady caught in adultery, "Has anyone condemned you?" There's that word again, punishment. Has anyone heaped punishment on you for the sins that you were found to have committed? There was no gray area here. It was pretty clear. She had committed this particular sin. It was discovered. And Jesus says to her, "Has anyone condemned you? Has anyone heaped punishment on you for this?" And then he says this to her. He could have said a lot of things, but he says this. "Go and leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more." Folks, it does matter how we live. It matters how we live and how we walk with the Spirit and the things that we do in the flesh and the things that we do in the body, they do matter a great deal. But what matters most, I think, let me tell you this morning, what I think matters most is the path that we are moving on, more importantly than how many times we might fall down on that path. Because there are two paths that we can walk. We can walk serving the flesh. We can walk a path that gratifies the flesh. We can walk a path that says, this is what I desire to do, and so I'm going to do it. And that gets embedded into so many things in our life. I mean, slogans of things like Nike, just do it, or slogans like Sprite, I think it is, obey your thirst, or 7-Up. I always get those two brands confused. I don't drink either one of those any longer. But we get that message that we can walk according to the flesh. We can walk in that way, or we can walk according to the Spirit. We can feed the Spirit. We can nurture the voice of the Spirit in our lives. And what matters most is not if we trip and fall, not if we are tempted and sometimes fall. What matters most is that we get back up, and it matters what path we are walking on. Because how many of you know that no matter which path we choose, we are not going to be perfect and we are not going to be sinless. We are not going to be without fault. And no matter how hard we try, no matter how many spiritual disciplines we do, we are not going to attain that perfection until Jesus returns. We do the disciplines because we want to feed the Spirit. We do the spiritual disciplines of prayer and reading Scripture because we want to position ourselves under the blessing of the Holy Spirit. You can imagine it like a waterfall, the blessings of God that come from walking in the Spirit, and the disciplines, they help us position our body, mind, soul, and spirit under the flow of the blessing. But we are not perfect people. Amen to that? We are not perfect people. But what matters most is not our perfection or our lack of perfection. What matters most is not if we stumble and if we trip and if we fall. What matters most is the path that we are on. And Jesus said to this woman caught in adultery, "Go and leave the path of sin. Walk a new path from this day forward." Was she going to live perfectly from then onward? I think not. Was she defined herself in the situation she found herself in that adulterous relationship? We hope not also, because Jesus said to her, go and walk a new path, and you'll have the Holy Spirit in your heart, who will not condemn you, who will not speak words that are degrading, who will not say, how could you have done that? You should have known better. Why did you do that? There is no more good left in you. That is not the voice of the Spirit of God. That is the voice of the liar, the voice of the enemy, the voice of the accuser. The voice of the Spirit comes along and says, there is greater love. There is greater joy. There is greater acceptance. There is greater peace. There is better than you are doing for yourself right now. Walk with me and you will enjoy the fullness of life. Not just living and breathing, but you will enjoy abundant life. And so it matters most, folks, this morning, if we are walking the path that glorifies and satisfies the flesh, or if we are walking the path that glorifies and feeds the Spirit of God's voice in our lives. The poet Robert Frost said, two roads diverged in a woods, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Go and sin no more. The path that Jesus invited her to walk upon was the path that brought her from freedom to sin to freedom from sin. And Paul tells us in the book of Galatians to walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. We struggle with that sometimes, though, folks. We struggle with that. We struggle with picking up shame and condemnation onto our lives, or at least I do. I struggle with the fact that sometimes when I realize I have not walked in the Spirit as well as I could have in a moment, I have not heeded the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, there's a voice inside of me that wells up and says, how could you do that? Stop being so stupid. I'm just being honest. That voice wells up in my mind sometimes. Why would you do that? How could you even think you could be the lead pastor of an organization and you could think like that or behave like that? How do you even think that you could be a member of the Maritime District Executive and have responded to that person like that? The voice comes in my mind sometimes. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think this morning that you sit around and sometimes that condemning voice, that voice of shame crops up in your mind, in your life as well sometimes. What am I even doing coming to church on Sunday? I've tripped, I've fallen, I've been tempted. Sometimes I have given in. The Spirit of God can't want to have anything to do with me. I've heard people say these things before. With lament in their hearts, because their hearts absolutely desire to walk with God, but they just feel that that is not for them, that they cannot do it, that they cannot possibly sustain it. It's because the voice of shame and the voice of condemnation is not the voice that we need to be listening to in our hearts. Amen? Because there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many times can I come back to the Lord and say, Lord, pick me up and restore me on this path of the Spirit? How many times can we come do that, folks? How many times can we come do that? The Word of God says 70 times 7, which doesn't mean 490. It's a hyperbole. It's a parable, which means that God is always there. He is always there. There is no measure of time where we are cut off from the grace of God when we look to Him and say, Lord God, restore me, pick me up, and help me to continue on this path of walking with the Spirit. He is there. He lifts us up in His gentle, loving kindness. Folks, we do not follow a God who one moment accepts us with loving open arms until we mess up, and then He rejects us for a while, and He has to go off, and He has to thaw out for a while, and we have to wallow in our sinfulness for a while, and then at some day we hope that we can be reconciled. That is not the nature of God that we serve. The God that we serve is right there that says, go and lead a life of sin no more. Get back up onto your feet, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, walk differently this time. And when you do fall again, because we are human and should the Lord tarry and not return, we will likely fall again. The Lord says, I am there and I will go before you. And the Lord will grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so that we can look back over time and we can see, hey, in this situation, in the past, I would have responded in a very unloving fashion perhaps. Or I would have demonstrated a stunning lack of self-control given these conditions. But now, because of the power of the Spirit in my life, I recognize that I am walking stronger and I am walking better. That is the voice of the Spirit that we listen to. Not the voice of shame and the voice of condemnation. Throughout history, Christians have sometimes tried to earn this forgiveness that we have through the Spirit on our own. They've tried to absolve the feelings of punishment or condemnation through a variety of physical acts. And some points in church history, we read that people would physically abuse their bodies as consequences and punishments for the sins that they have committed. Other less gruesome ways might be, in fact, sometimes people have repeated a prayer to receive like a penance or an absolution from their sins under the impression that if I simply repeat a prayer, a form of godliness over and over again, then I will somehow be released from the condemnation that I experience or feel, the shame that I feel. But Colossians 2:23, the Apostle Paul says, regulations like this have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, with their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. It's the appearance or the form of godliness that lacks the power inherent in the Spirit of God. Because, folks, there is nothing that we can do that is going to earn us a way out of condemnation and shame in our own selves. Because that has been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. And any voice that wants to put condemnation and punishment and shame back on you is the voice of the enemy in your mind. And we rebuke that in Jesus' name. Because we walk free and according to the Spirit. We might chuckle inwardly and say, we would never fall into such an absurd practice like that, would we? We know as Pentecostals here in 2019 that we walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, but we do sometimes take that punishment internally. We feel like failures. We feel like spiritual midgets. We feel like there cannot be the possibility that the Word of God would come through my lips in any prophetic fashion, that the gifts of the Spirit cannot function in my life. I've even heard people say, perhaps the reason why I've been seeking to be filled with the Spirit of God with the biblical sign of speaking in other tongues and I've not received it is simply because God knows that I am not good enough yet. And those are lies from the enemy. Those are lies from the enemy, the one who entrap us and ensnare us and get our eyes on our failure as opposed to our eyes on the Spirit of God. The problem with anything that we do to try and fix the sin problem in our life is the fact that nothing we can do can bring the sinful nature into subjection. All of these things, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians, all of these things that we can do that have an appearance of wisdom are powerless in restraining sensual indulgence. They are powerless against the lure of the flesh, only walking in the Spirit. And so we don't need to heap on condemnation and punishment on ourselves. And we don't need to heap condemnation and punishment on others in our body or others in our community. Because folks, how many of you know that sin comes with enough built-in consequences of its very own? How many of you know that this morning, that when we stumble and that when we fall, or maybe before we confessed faith in Christ and we walked a path where we gratified the flesh, sin comes with enough built-in consequences of its own. I know that in my previous church, our lead pastor would say that sin makes you stupid. That's his word. You can call him and tell him. Sin makes you stupid, he said, and sin takes you further than you want to go. There are enough built-in consequences of walking in a sinful path that we do not have to heap any more consequences or condemnation on ourselves, and we do not have to heap condemnation and consequences and further punishment on people around us when we see that they have fallen short in one area or another. We can reach down and cooperate with the voice of the Spirit and say, get up and walk a different path. Get up and renew your path forward. But that's tough. That's tough because sometimes in church we have felt the need to protect the honor and the holiness of God. And that is a holy thing. That is an honorable thing. But we have felt the need to protect the honor of God and to protect the holiness of God. And so we've wanted to stand up and place clear boundaries. And we've struggled with that as the church in the 20th century. Even in 2019, we struggle with that. Even today, just to give you a practical example, churches, we still struggle with how to manage and how to minister in a culture where divorce and remarriage are so prevalent. And because it's so prevalent in our culture, we need to. It's imperative that by the Spirit of God, we do a better job managing this. Because folks, on the one hand, we understand what the Word of God says. We understand that divorce is not the plan of God, and it's not the will of God for any person or anyone. We understand what the Old Testament says in Malachi 2:16, that God hates divorce, and that is in strong language. Whenever I work with folks, whenever I pastor people, it's always restoration as the biblical goal. Apostle Paul emphasizes this in 1 Corinthians 7. There is always restoration as the end goal. But folks, we understand in the culture that we live in, the reality that we live around, and that's not always what happens, unfortunately. But folks, divorce is always tragic for the people involved. It's always difficult, and it comes with its own fair share of built-in consequences. Mark my words, not as someone that's ever walked through that before, but just as someone who has pastored people. I sat in my office with someone who had walked through a divorce, and they told me that after that happened, for 3 months they were in bed under such a deep depression that they could not get up and function, and it overwhelmed them. And it was not something they would ever want to walk through again. I have never heard someone say, that was the best time of my life. And so there are always built-in natural consequences when we fall short of the glory of God. But folks, telling someone because they have walked that path or because of some other sin in their past or in their life that they are forever broken and they are living just shy of complete restoration and complete redemption is a distraction from the biblical message of Romans 8, which is there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no punishment. There is nothing that we ought to heap on because Jesus Christ is not, he says, get up and let's walk a new path. It's why the NIV and the New Living Translations have clarified 1 Timothy 3:2 in their translation, better translating this. I just heard this week. Better translating 1 Timothy 3:2 to being overseers in the church must be faithful to their wives as opposed to husbands of one wives, because that has led us to incorrectly understand this passage in past times in history, that what is at stake here is the faithfulness to one's marriage. Folks, sin has its own built-in consequences. There are legal consequences sometimes from pasts that we have walked. Mandy and I had a friend. We were very good friends with this family when we lived in Ontario. They came into our church and they sat in the back row, and I noticed them for a couple of weeks, and then I introduced myself and began to talk to them. First the husband came, and then the husband and wife came, and then there were 3 children, and they started coming, and they would sit in the back row to my left as I was on the platform. And I got to talk with them, and then the dad gave his heart to the Lord. and the mom did too, and they came to our foundations class. And then in foundations, I got to know them a little bit better, and he started to open up and share a little bit about his story, a little bit about his past. He said, well, would this church accept someone who maybe had been to jail before? I said, of course. You know, we don't get our theology from the hymnal, but Blessed Assurance says the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. We don't get our theology from a hymnal, but we know that that hymn reflects the truth found in the Word of God. And so I said, of course. And then the next Sunday, we come back to Foundations, and we are sitting there around the table in conversation. And then he throws out, he was testing the limits of grace. He throws, he says, yeah, well, you know, I've been in jail overnight a couple of times myself in the past, just for different things. And we were talking about those kinds of things around the table, about a dozen of us in Foundations, and he threw that out. And then, at the end of Foundations, he comes to me and he shares with me. He says, you know, there are some things that I've been involved in the past, and because of the slowness of our legal system, I have to go to court soon, and I might have to do time. He was a member of our church by that point. I had baptized him and his wife. His children confess faith in Jesus Christ. They're still walking with the Lord to this day. His son and his son's girlfriend want to be missionaries, but he was a member of our church, and he was walking with God, but he said to me, I might have to spend some time away. And so in February 2017, he did have to go away, and the judge sentenced him to a number of years. And when we moved here, I didn't get a chance to see him, except by video chat. Then when I went back to Ontario last summer in July, Mandy and I and the family, we went to their house, and we had this great reunion, seeing them all together again, the family together again. Folks, there are enough built-in consequences of sinfulness in our lives that we don't have to heap condemnation or punishment on people because of things that they have been involved in, because there is enough that comes their way simply because they broke covenant, simply because they walked in their own flesh, simply because they gratified the flesh. This gentleman had to miss a year and a half of his family's life. He had to miss his oldest son's high school graduation. His wife had to go back to work to support the family while he was away, and he had virtually no contact physically with anyone from his family. He was at the mercy of the system because of some things I did. But folks, what we didn't do as a local church, thank God for that. What we didn't do was push them away. His wife and his kids remained active parts of the local church. What we didn't do is we didn't pretend like it wasn't happening and forget about it and ostracize him. You know what we did do? The chairman of our board, who was the president of a corporation, showed up in the courtroom and read a letter of affirmation for this inmate who said, I have acknowledged that his character is one that has been changed, and I am an upstanding citizen of this community, the president of a corporation, and I can say that he attends my church and he has changed. He's home now. What could have been a really, really lengthy stay, thankfully, by the grace of God, he's home. But folks, there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The past hadn't fully caught up with him. Our legal system takes time. He was fighting it, and then he came to the point and said, you know what? If I have to serve consequences for what I did, Lord, have mercy on me. Let them not be too severe, and I'll have to go away. But I thank God that us as a local church, we didn't heap any more on top of him, because sin comes with its own built-in consequences. We don't have to add any more to the mix. That is inappropriate, and it's a distortion of what the Word of God says. Who calls unclean what the Lord has made clean? Pastor Aaron, come back to the guitar, please. So this morning, folks, maybe there's some of you gathered here this morning, and you've heard this talk of walking with God, and maybe some of you this morning have never confessed faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you coming here this morning thought, well, I don't even know why I'm coming to church this morning. Maybe some of you here this morning are thinking, I don't know, I'll go try it out, but I don't know if I fit there. I don't know if my life is proper to be there. And I just want to tell you that there is no condemnation salvation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that you can come and that you can receive Christ in your heart, that you can walk with God. You can start a new journey today, and it doesn't matter what you've done, what you may be even doing at the moment, because Jesus says there's no condemnation. Stand up, walk a path where there is no more sin. Walk a new way. No longer gratify the flesh. No more gratification of the sinful nature. Romans 8 tells us we don't have to look back on the past to determine our present or future value. Do you get that, church? We don't have to look back in the past to determine our present or our future value, because the past is there. It is behind us. Whether or not we walked with God or didn't walk with God when the past took place, the past is in the past, in the present, and forevermore. There is therefore no condemnation for those who were in Christ Jesus. We walk a new path. And for some of us this morning, for some of you this morning, this might be huge. No, it is huge. I just had such a sense that the Spirit of God was telling me to share this morning. I had something else planned. We'll share it at another time. And in fact, I had this planned for another future Sunday as well. But I just felt the Spirit of God spoke to me on Monday night in that prayer gathering at district conference that this was the passage and that this was the message that was going to break condemnation and shame off people's lives. Because when we are praying for the Spirit of God to move, we want to be unhindered. We want to not be walking with heaviness and weightiness on us. We want to be able to walk and be a witness for the Spirit of God. And those of us who have been empowered by the Spirit, we want to walk free in that. And we want people to seek the moving of the Spirit in their own lives. And so this morning, there's going to be a shift in some people's lives this morning where they walk apart from that condemnation. Romans 8, 9 says, you are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. 1 Corinthians 6, 11 says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And the Apostle Paul closes this chapter saying this, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that separates you this morning. Let's stand together. First this morning, I just want to ask you. Is the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart? Maybe you've come this morning and you say, I've never confessed faith in Christ. I have never raised my hand and said, I want to walk with the Spirit. I want to go and walk a new life. I have never confessed faith in Christ. If that's you this morning, then this could be the opportunity. The fact that you are here this morning, the fact that the Spirit of God has drawn you in, is a time when you have the opportunity to say, yes, that's me. And so let's just take a moment and pray. Let's close our eyes this morning. Lord God, I just pray for hearts gathered this morning that may not know you. And I just pray, Lord, that you will draw them in by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I just pray that you will speak to them right now, Lord God, that this morning could be the morning of transformation and this morning could be the morning of change in their lives, Lord God. And we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for that, Jesus. And so while we have our eyes closed and our heads bowed, just respecting the privacy of the moment, just for a moment, is there anyone here this morning that would say that I have come in and I would like to make a new or refresh my commitment of faith in Jesus Christ? If that's you, just simply raise your hand so that I can know, and then we'll pastor that well after that. But is there anyone this morning that says I need to renew or start a brand new walk with Jesus Christ? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand this morning if that's you, and you can put it back down. Thank you for those who have already raised their hands. If there's anyone else this morning who just says, I want to walk a new path with Jesus Christ this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Second thing this morning is this, that we may be walking this morning with heavy condemnation on our spirits. We may be walking carrying shame. Maybe that's something that we've put there on ourselves. Maybe we've believed the lie of the enemy that we are not everything we could be in Christ because we've held on to some shame or condemnation. Or maybe someone has spoke that all over you and someone has placed that on you and you've just taken it up. This morning, I want to declare in Jesus' name that that can be broken. Lord God, break that off of people today so that we can walk in the lightness and the freedom of your spirit, Lord God. I just want to invite you this morning. If that's you, we're going to gather around the altars. We're going to worship. Pastor Aaron's going to lead us, and we're going to pray that the Spirit of God will break off condemnation, break off shame, will anoint us in a new path of freedom, of moving with the Spirit of God. And so as Pastor Aaron leads us this morning, if that's your prayer, if you just want to come and pray and say, God, break off the things that hold me back, break off the condemnation, break off the shame, come gather around, and we are going to pray together this morning. Go ahead, Pastor Aaron.